Thanks to Bible Baptist for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the fellowship. This is our actual second annual revival, again, after we planted a church in 2015. So we praise the Lord for that. We had a theme of ministry is 5% perspiration and 95% commitment. And what I was trying to say was that you do a lot of work, but it shouldn't matter because we're doing it for the Lord. Amen? Amen. The Bible said, don't grow weary in what? Well doing, for you reap as you faint not. Amen. So we're so grateful for that. But before I get into the message, I want to piggyback off of something that Dr. Bates preached on. Again, he preached on this on the third Sunday ago. So let me just pray, and then we'll get into the piggyback and I get into the message. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this revival. Lord, we know that America needs revival. Not only America, this whole world needs revival. Lord, we're living in the last days, Lord. We see that there's a move away from the things of God, from what the founding fathers built this nation on, Lord. We see there's a move away, destroying families, Lord, destroying churches, destroying government, Lord. And everything that was ordained that you called good in the beginning, Lord, has begin to demise and begin to fall apart. So, Lord, you still left us with a roadmap. You left us with the Word of God. So thank you that we have an instruction book. We have something that we can guide our lives, guide our family, guide our church. And we even have something for our country, Lord, even though we know we're in a dispensation of grace and this is not the nation of Israel. But if we follow the precepts of the Word of God, the application would still work. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through me to your people, Lord. Use me to preach the unadulterated Word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Dr. Bates was talking about Baptist distinctives. And he went over the 8 Baptist distinctives that most Baptist churches agree with. And again, I don't have time to give you all of them, but I'll give them to you. The B stands for, again, in the beginning, stand for biblical authority. The A in Baptist stands for the authenticity of the local church. And then the P stands for the priesthood of the believer. We believe that every believer is a priest, that we don't have to go to a priest. The first T stands for the 2 ordinances of the church, which is believer's baptism, which is by immersion, and which is, again, the Lord's Supper. And I really believe that the local church are the only 2 institutions that Jesus left those 2 ordinances with. And we want to hold to that. Then we believe in the eyes of individual soul liberty. We believe that an individual has the right to follow the Lord. We don't believe that we need to coerce anybody or force anybody to do right or to pay tithes. We believe that's up to them as long as they follow the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We believe Baptist, the S stand for saved, baptized church membership. We believe that once you're saved, that you ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and you're baptized into that local assembly. Amen? Amen. Then we believe that the other T stands for the 2 offices of the church. We believe that 2 offices are still 2 today, even though a lot of churches have changed. We believe in the pastor and the deacons. That's the only 2 offices we believe. And again, we'll get a little into that. We don't believe in deaconess. We don't believe in elders. We don't believe in a board. I just believe in the Word of God. Amen? And we believe in that other. The S, which Baptist, stands for separation of church and state. A lot of people get all that messed up because they say, well, you know, the government, you know, ought to be separate. Well, in the beginning, God gave, the founding fathers gave us the right to have a religious institution. It was separated. The government should not be able to regulate the church. Amen? And it should stay separate. But again, in the beginning, the founding fathers built this country on Judeo-Christian values. And they incorporated a lot of the Word of God, because that's why they left Great Britain to come over here, 13 colonies started. But anyway, we've gone away from that. So people say, well, you can't have the Bible in school. It's just a separation of the church. No, no. If you go back to the Constitution, that's what it was intended for in the beginning. But anyway, we're living in a new day, so we need to stay with the Word of God. So those are the 8 Bible distinctives. But he went on to give 4 things that Bible Baptists believe, and I know North River Bible Baptists believe, so we're going to kind of piggyback off that. First of all, we believe in the view of the King James Bible. Okay, we believe that by conviction. We don't have to get into the text receptacle and all the manuscript, but we believe that. We believe that the Word of God was inspired, like he says, the original text. Now, we have copies today, but we still believe that this copy is still infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God. Okay, we talked a little bit about that. Then he talked about the plenum preservation of the Bible. And what he was talking about was that we believe every word was inspired. Every word in this Bible was God-breathed. The word inspiration has to do with, pneumas has to do with God-breathed. And I want you to look at three scriptures real quick. If you got your Bibles, because this is a Bible teaching church, we're going to look at three scriptures on why I believe that plenum preservation. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Again, this is just a backdrop of the message, so hopefully once we get this, I get into the message, it won't be long. I know my wife told me, don't preach all night, but when I was in the Bahamas, when I was in the islands, I preached for an hour. But anyway, we're not in the island. We're in America. Luke chapter 5. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 3. Luke chapter 5, verse 3 say, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon. This is talking about Jesus. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the what? Ship. Now, when he had left speaking, it's Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out unto the deep and let down your, here's the word, nets with an S on it for a draw. That's why we believe the word of God, every word is inspired. Now, you notice the word nets is plural, but look at verse 6. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. By the way, Simon was a fisherman. He knew how to fish. He knew he didn't need the Lord to tell him what to do. So he said, look, we've toiled all night. We ain't caught nothing. And he said, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Why did God, the Holy Spirit, put nets versus nets? Because you're going to find out that the net broke because he didn't follow God. And then later on, I don't have time to get there, when they get into John 21, when Jesus has resurrected and Peter them fishing, he's going to tell them the same thing, let down the nets, and then Peter going to let down the net and catch a draw of fish, and then he's going to say it's the Lord. Amen? So that's why God put net versus net. Now, that's very important because every word is inspired. Are you with me? I want to show you another one. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. When I was the youth pastor for years, I would always tell them, now, if you don't know how to find Galatians, go to the front of the book, get the table of contents, and you find Galatians. Well, y'all all know what Galatians is, right? Galatians chapter 3. You there? Say amen. When I taught in the institute and college, I always say, wet your fingers, because we're going to walk through the Bible. Galatians chapter 3. You there? Say amen. Verse 16. Now to Abraham. Everybody there? And his, here's the word, seed, singular, was the promise made. He said not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is what? He was trying to get us to understand way back when he made the covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham he was going to make it, him his loins, he's going to have like the seas, like the sand of the grains of the sand, like the star. But what he was talking about, I'm not really talking about those seeds, really, but I need a progenitor. I need a lineage that my Messiah could come through. So I'm actually talking about one seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Holy Spirit of God penned that. So we would get it together. We're not talking about seeds. We're talking about seed. We're talking about seed. And if you go to Matthew, it tells you that Jesus Christ's genealogy, it tells you that he's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. He's the son of God. And he's Jesus Christ. Amen? Plenum preservation. One more. Well, let me give you this. Romans, you know this. Romans 6:23 say, for the wages of sin, singular, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Just doing a little teaching tonight, so hope you don't mind. I love teaching the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. If you that say amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Now, I just told you that for the wages of sin, singular, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit penned the word sin, singular. But look at Hebrews 9, 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins, plural, of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You ask people all the time, are you saved? And they say, no, I sin. I got all these sins. Well, we're not talking about whether you smoke or drink or curse. Or we're not talking about sins. We're talking about sin, which is unbelief. So Christ died for the sin of unbelief. I tell people this, and I preach this Sunday. There's no sins or no sin on the face of the earth that cannot be forgiven, but the one blaspheme of the Holy Ghost, which is unbelief, which is the sin of unbelief. So when I say I will not receive Jesus, I will not accept him, I'm committing the sin of blasphemy or the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But God died for the sin, singular, of the world. But then the Bible says all our sins have been forgiven. So he died not only for my unbelief, he died for all my sins. Amen? Amen. Plenty of preservation. Then he brought up traditional Christian music. I know that we're living in a day where liberal and music contemporary and everything come up, but I still believe in, and he gave us a scripture on that, that we need to sing songs of hymns, songs of glorifying, songs to glorify the Lord. Amen? I don't know where they start taking these songs of the night and changing them to Christians, so I don't know where that comes from. But if you study, I have several books in my library that will tell you some of those hymns. You look at the author and how he wrote and how his testimony came out, you'll find out that those were songs that were inspired as that writer was writing them. Amen? I believe that's what the church ought to do. Now, again, I was a youth pastor for years, and I know people say, well, the young people need the word of God, and they need hymns and psalms and songs that glorify the Lord. Amen? Amen? And then he said the last one, the fourth point, was the autonomy of the local church. We already talked about that. It's the pillar of truth. It's where the word of God is given. It's a living organism. It's not a universal church. It's the local church with a pastor that gives the word of God. Amen? And let me give you three more, and then we're going to get into the word of God. I was at my grandson's Christian school. I got a chance to be the first speaker at the chapel. And one of the pastors I know, which happened to be a friend of mine, made this statement. He said, now, we're Christian schools here. So one of our standards is we're going to have modest appearance and modest dress. We're not going to have spike hairdos. You're not going to come in here with green, orange hairdo. You're not going to come here at our school. We're going to have a standard. And so I believe, and again, I know you can get on me because I'm getting dogmatic, but I believe we ought to still honor that. Amen? Amen. You say, well, ain't nothing wrong with a person. They can come to church with a spiked hair. The only problem with that is it identifies with the world. And it's not really a testimony, because when I become, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things. So I need to, I think, identify with Christ. So I got that. Different standards, different things. He said that also, that he said, we're not going to wear any paraphernalia or slogans that got curse words on them. Now, y'all know even the public school have gone now where they have uniform, because people was wearing anything to school, right? So we need to stay, there need to be a standard. We need to have standards and stuff like that. Believe in, again, modest dress. Believe in modest appearance. Believe in the chain of command, the pastor and the deacons. And the deacons ought to be servants, not usurp of authority. And I've seen it happen. Deacons should not have the power to usurp authority. They should go to the pastor and work with them. But again, we've gone away from that. That's why I believe that we need to stay with the book. Amen? Also, I'm not going to get into the controversy that split a lot of Baptist churches, but the controversy over tongues and women pastors caused a lot of problems. The issue is we still believe 1 Timothy 3 is in the Bible. That's right. I still believe that. Amen. People say all the time, but, well, what do you think about this? I say, it's not what I think. It's what did the Bible say? I still believe in the husband is the bishop. He's the husband of one. Well, I still believe in that. I still believe that the Bible is true. Amen? Amen. So we're going to hold to that, to the word of God. Amen? And now we're in one other thing I say, seek of friendly churches. Come as you are. Now, I'm not here to badge anybody, but I used to get in trouble because I used to say, I don't think you need to wear flip-flops and you need to wear hot pants to church. I don't think you need to do that. I think you need to come to church. I don't think you need to wear these big baggy sweatpants and stuff like that. So I think we need to give God. Matter of fact, I believe we ought to give God our best. Yes.
Amen.
Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Now, I don't like to preach on my past, but I know when I was lost, I dressed up and went out, done all the things in the world. So why can't I do that for the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, turn to Luke chapter 12. We're getting to our message. I'm going to preach about 15 minutes. My wife already told me. I can do a 15-minute sermon there. There's no problem. Luke chapter 12. We know Luke is Dr. Luke. We know Luke, as we believe, is the only Gentile that wrote one of the Gospels. We know that Luke was probably an apostle of Apostle Paul. And he wrote a letter. He was a historian. He wrote the Theophilus. But look at Luke chapter 12. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 41. I'm going to read down 41 to 48. Then I'm going to give you 3 points and then we'll be done. Luke chapter 12, verse 41 said, then Peter said unto him, Lord, this is after he gave him this parable of the expectant servant. Speakest thou this parable unto us? Are you talking to us? Or even to all? Are you talking to everybody here, Lord? Or are you talking to the disciples? And the Lord said, if you have one of these Bibles like I have an open Bible, everything that Jesus said is in red. So it may be in red in your Bible like it is. And the Lord said, verse 42, who then is that faithful and wise, what? Steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portions of meat in due season. Blessed or happy is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing the work of the Lord so that when the Lord come, he left me in charge. When he come, he'll find me doing the work of the God. Amen? Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him, what? Ruler of all that he has. Now, if I could ever get Christians to understand this, there's rewards for serving Christ. Now, I don't serve Christ to get a reward. I don't serve Christ, but there is rewards for serving Christ. And the Bible says that if I be faithful over a few things, he'll make me rule over many. Amen? So I'm not serving to be in charge, but I do want to get those crowns that God has for me. Amen? Verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart, this is Christian for you, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and eat and to drink and to be what? Drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looked not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware. That's when the Lord will come, when you think he's not coming. Amen. And will cut him in his under, and he will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, you know the Lord coming. You didn't prepare yourself. You know he coming. Prepare not himself. Neither did according to his will. You don't do his will. Like I heard the piano say, it wasn't her will. It was the Lord's will. Shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Here's the verse that we're going to preach on tonight. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I want to speak to you just briefly on, you've been given a lot. Some of you got men preach the word of God. You've been under Bible teaching for a long time. You've been in the word of God. You've been under solid doctrine. You've been under stuff right. And we still not right. God is going to require that back to you. Because there are a lot of people who don't have what you have. And you take it for granted. Amen? So we're going to look at that. God want us to give back. The Bible says, for much has been given, much is required. Lord, who are you addressing? This is like us, Peter. Are you talking to somebody else? Are you talking to me? Who are you talking? Go back to verse 37. Don't close your Bibles yet. We're going to walk through the Bible. Verse 37. This is the parable of the expected servant. In the same book, Luke 12, he said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find what?
Watching.
Verily I say unto you that he shall grind himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Watching means simply serving the Lord. Watching. You remember Gideon? That just came to my story when God told him Gideon had all these soldiers that were trying to follow him. God said, I'm going to deliver Israel, but you got too many. I think he had 32,000. God said, that's too many, Gideon. And Gideon said, well, those that have fear in their heart, those that tell them to go home. I think like 10,000 went home, and he had like 22,000 left. And the Lord said, still too many. And then he said, what I want you to do, I want you to take them down to the water. And when they get down to the water, I want them to lap water like a dog. Now, what he was saying is I want them to have one eye open and one eye looking. That's watching. Watching for everything. The Christian ought to be watching. We ought to be looking for Christ to come back, and we ought to be watching. People say all the time, well, the world is on a, you know, they're on a roller coaster of hell. I can't do nothing about the world. Yeah, you can. You can be salt and light. You know what salt does? It preserves. Amen. You can stand up. I think Christians ought to speak up. I think Christians ought to stand up. I think Christians ought to say things that are wrong. Now, again, I'm not saying cause a riot or go and cause a disturbance, but when the Holy Spirit put on you and you get an opportunity, you get a wonder, you ought to say something. Amen? Jesus was using that picture of a steward placed in charge of a master's home. Y'all can identify with this. When mom and dad used to leave and the kids hadn't really, you know, wasn't old enough, I think the law says 13, you can leave them at home by themselves. You say, now, y'all, take care of the house till I get back. That's the way it is with Jesus. He said, now, y'all, take care, giving the word till I get back. But you know what they say in the world? When the cat's gone, the rats play. Y'all heard the story, right? Nobody want to do right. I think Dr. Bates preached this message last. Lily work. Do right when nobody's watching you. Study the Bible when nobody's telling you to study. Prepare your Sunday school lesson. Read your Bible. Pray. Matter of fact, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. That means you ain't got to tell nobody. When you fasting and praying, I know Christians don't like to hear that word, but you don't got to tell nobody you fasting. You can just say, Lord, I need a miracle, Lord. This is way beyond me. And your Bible said, this only come by fasting and prayer. So you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I ain't going to tell anybody. I'm just going to go without meal and trust you. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've done that, and I've seen God work. Amen? Fasting and prayer still working. Amen. So Jesus was saying this. Give them their meat. What he's saying to give them their meat? To give them the word. I said this earlier. You'll starve without physical food every day. It's the same without spiritual food. If you don't eat the word of God, you'll become malnutritious. Amen? You need to eat the word of God. Now, let me just say this. You might not remember every sermon that the pastor preached, but you ought to glean some from every sermon. I don't go to church and leave and not get anything. Every sermon, there's something in that sermon that the Lord has for me, because this book, the Bible says, out of it are the issues of life. So I know when I go to church and the man of God has studied and given himself to the word, I know God is going to speak to me. So I don't never leave the church and say, well, I didn't get nothing. No, I got some. Most of the time when you go to church, you know, I used to preach at a church, and they used to say, I had the woman steal those shoes because you stepped all on my toes. Look, I wasn't stepping on your toes. I was just preaching the Bible, amen? If the Bible say, a preacher told me one time, he said, preacher, I had just started preaching. He said, now, when you preach, if everybody shake your hand at the end of the day, then you didn't preach what God wants you to preach. He said, now, you'll know when God gave you a message, when you're at the door and people dodge you. Let's go. I ain't got to talk to him. He just told, somebody told him what I did. Let me tell you, that's when you're preaching the word of God. Amen? You're preaching the truth. Amen? 3 points. Number one, Jesus proclaimed blessing upon faithful people. Okay? Faithfulness to church. I like to say to you that came tonight, God gonna bless you because you've been faithful. Amen? Faithfulness to Sunday school, faithfulness to Wednesday night, faithfulness to Sunday night, faithfulness to revival, faithfulness to the anniversary, faithfulness to vacation Bible school. Look, God expects us to be faithful. More is required in the stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. That word man is generic. That's man, woman, boy, girl. Just be faithful. Faithful. God's not going to give you any bigger work until you're faithful to the little work. Amen? Right. This chapter is really teaching on stewardship. That's what he's teaching on. We need to be steward. When somebody give you something, they expect you to keep it. You know, I didn't learn this until I was in college. You know, my mama gave me a car, you know, took care of the gas and all that. So long as they was taking care of it, I just did what I wanted to do. But the first time I had to buy some car tires, I found out they was expensive. I stopped driving so fast. I mean, you know how you be, I said, wait a minute, that rubber coming up there out of my pocket. So it's back to, you need to take care a good steward of somebody's merchandise. Amen? James says this, my brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Don't jump. Don't be quick to jump in a ministry because you're going to be held accountable. Amen? Like the preacher said, some people go out on Saturday night, say one lady came to church to teach Sunday school and she took her shoes off. She said, oh, my toes hurt. I've been dancing all last night. I got to take off my shoes to teach Sunday school. Let me just tell you, she shouldn't have been teaching Sunday school. Amen? You need to be in the Word of God. You need to study. And by the way, you don't study for Sunday school on Saturday night. You study the whole week. Amen? Amen. Number two, this is the attitude of most Christians. It's called get round to it. I get round to it one day, preacher. You need to be ready when Christ come back because Christ's return is imminent. The word imminent means he can come anytime. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, Paul thought he was going to come in this time. Well, he did. Well, Dwight Moody thought he was going to come that way. He did. And guess what? He could come in my time. Well, he may not come for the next 100 years, but he's still imminent. Amen. He can come anytime he wants to. Amen. In Matthew 24:44, he said, therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour, ye think not the Son of Man come. He's saying, be ye ready. We need to always be ready. I was thinking about when they're getting ready to run track. We just had the Olympics and how they put down these starting blocks and how you had to get in position and you have to wait for the gun to sound. That's getting ready. Amen. We need to be ready. We need to be ready when Christ comes back. We need to share the gospel. We need to live like Christ died yesterday, like he's coming back tomorrow. We need to do that every day. Every day needs to be a day that we glorify the Lord. That should never be a break in serving the Lord. Amen. Faithful. Those who are faithful in the ages to come will hold positions of authority. Something that we can't, far greater than what we can imagine today. But in heaven, all the fullness, all the fruition, all the desires of our heart will come to pass. Preacher told me this one time. He said, you know, you always think when you have a bad thought. You say, boy, that's so bad. I know the Lord knew I had that thought. He said, did you ever think when you have a good thought? God know that too? Yeah. I remember a young preacher telling me, say, I think I'm called to preach. I said, well, that didn't come from the devil. That for sure. If you called to preach, if you called to be a missionary, if you called to serve, if you called to sing in the choir, God put it on your heart. So you ain't got to worry about the devil. He ain't going to put nothing on your heart to serve the Lord. Amen. The roundabout Christian. We'll get around to it. Let me give you this. Brother Bates preached on that last night. So let me just give it to you. The correct interpretation. There's many applications, but let me give you the correct interpretation. The servant or servants in the scripture, you have to go to Isaiah to find out that the servant that Jesus was talking about was Israel. Because he says in Isaiah 41:8, Israel my servant or Jacob my servant. And then when he talks about the servants, he's talking about the nation of Israel. So that's the correct interpretation. But the application is today is that we as a church are servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be faithful. Amen. Now when he's talking about this servant, that again, he's talking about cast out of darkness. He's talking about the unbelieving Jews in the nation of Israel. People always ask this question. Well, is he talking to Christians? He's talking about, well, the context is he talking to the Jews and in the nation of Jews. In the nation, there are unbelieving Jews and they're believing Jews. So when he says you're going to be cast out of darkness, he's talking about the unbeliever. When he says you're going to be cut us under, he's talking about the unbeliever. A Christian can never be in hell. A Christian is saved forever. He's secured forever. So you don't have to worry. He's not talking about Christians here. Amen. Let's teach the Word of God hermeneutically. We need to understand now, here's the issue, though. But Christians are going to be judged. That's called the Bema seat. Amen? The Bible says every idle word, every deed. I tell my wife this all the time. She don't like me to say it. I say, you know what? God going to judge me as I was a husband. Well, I was a good Christian husband. And he's going to judge you where you was a Christian, good Christian wife. You might think you're getting away with it, but God's going to judge you for how you live. Amen. So God's going to judge you as a Christian. He's going to judge you as a church member. He's going to judge me as a pastor. He's going to judge the deacons as their position. He's going to judge a teacher. He's going to judge you in everything that you did. And this is what he's going to say. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you everything. We have everything that we need for godly, holy living. There's no excuse. Now, I'm not going to say that we don't mess up because we're human. But we have every. I just preached on that Sunday. I was telling them about ISIS. I was telling them, you know, people over in the Middle East get their head cut off. And I told them, so y'all might call me a hypocrite because I allowed to get over there and they say, you need to say Allah, we're going to cut your head off. I told them, well, for that moment, I might say Allah just to live for another day. So everybody's different. Now, don't call me a hypocrite. I may just be weak like John the Baptist was. When John the Baptist was in jail, John the Baptist made this statement. The same one that said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the whole. He said, would you go ask him? Did he say that? This is John the Baptist who jumped in the womb when he was 6 months. He said, go ask him. Is he the one? Yes. Or should we live for another? So don't ever think that we arrive because we're human. Amen? Unbelieving nation. The application again is faithful. Look at, go back to verse 47, 48. And we'll get ready to close. 47, 48, Luke chapter 12. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, again, neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Let me give you one. Jonah. Y'all don't know who Jonah was? Jonah was a prophet of God. He said, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to go out there and tell that nation to repent. Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. Matter of fact, I'm going to buy me a ticket. I'm going to get on the boat. I'm going to go down to Tarshish. Y'all remember the story? So there are Christians that do that. They do not do what the Lord tell them to. God going to mete out judgment that day. That's why I'm saying it's best for you. Matter of fact, this is what the Bible says. Judge yourself and you won't be judged. You know what it's saying? You know when you're doing wrong. You know when you ain't following the Lord. You know when you got a bad attitude. So just get it right. So you don't have to have nobody come and tell you, well, brother, you seem to like you bitter. No. I know I'm bitter. I'm working on it. Amen? I know I got some problem. I know, you know, and this is what we do as Christians. And I hate to say it, but we do it. We get mad at God because he didn't do what we thought he should have did. All right, that is. Well, wait a minute, God. Why'd you let that happen? I mean, come on, God. I'm serving you. Why I got to go through this storm, this valley, this deep dark depression? You know what I tell my daughters this all the time. He's God. And if he can't do the job, then he ought to resign. But I got news for you. He ain't going to resign and he ain't going to get out of office. So he's still God. Whatever trial you're going through, it is hidden treasures, hidden riches in the darkness. Amen? Point number one. Back to Jesus proclaimed blessing upon the faithful servants. Point number two, the attitude of most Christians is I get around to it. And point number three, and as I close, the reason that we ought to be faithful, the reason that we ought to be dedicated is because the certainty of heaven and the uncertainty of this life. See, heaven is certain, but me knowing that this life has problem by itself. Amen. Job said, man is born of a few days and full of trouble. Let me tell you, you're going to have trouble and trouble on this earth. So by me knowing that I'm going to have trouble and I know heaven is for real, I'm going to be faithful. You ought to be faithful. Amen. Jesus emphasized this. In Revelation 16:15, he said, behold, I come as a thief in the night. Blessed is the one who watches and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Jesus told his disciples that the time of his return would be a time when they would not expect it. That's why he called himself a thief in the night. I was witness to a Muslim one time. He said, now, come on, that can't be the word of God. Why would the Lord, the almighty supreme God, call himself a thief? He said, a thief is something wicked. Why would they say he's a thief? I said, let me give it to you in the Greek. I said, when they translated the Greek word, they couldn't come up with a word in the English language to say that somebody's going to come and snatch you without you knowing it. So the best word in the English language that translated from the Greek was thief. By the way, y'all know what a thief is? He's somebody that steals that don't tell you he's going to come. Now, a robber, when the Bible says we rob God when tithes and offerings, a robber is somebody that put on a mask and put a gun to your face and you see him. You can see him. But a thief, he don't let you know he's coming. He come to your house when you're not there. He show up. So the only way it could be explained in the English language was that Jesus is coming as a thief. I know what you're thinking. He coming back Sunday morning at 11 o'clock when everybody's in church. No, he's not. He's going to come back when we least expect it. Amen. As a thief in the night. Amen? Amen? The Bible say, be ye ready. The Bible say, occupy till he come. Jesus stressed continual faithfulness. He stressed that we ought to be faithful in the things, in the small things. He kept saying that we ought to be in a constant state of readiness. We ought to be, it's just like a swimmer. You saw the Olympics, when they get on the diving board, they were ready when the gun shot. It's just like in the military, when they get ready to go into war, they're ready. They get in that march, in that line, they're ready. It's just like a track star. It's just like, you need to be ready. You need to be always ready. One thing about funerals, I say this. They always have the day the person was born and the day they died. And then they have what they call a bleep, a line in the middle. That's the part that you need to worry about. See, I don't know the day I'm going to die. I know God allowed me to know the day I was born. But one day, he's coming back. So I need to be living in that in-between time until he come back. The now and the then. I need to be privileged. Matter of fact, I'm privileged. Because God gave me a lot of responsibility. I'm privileged that God allowed me to go to Bible college. I'm privileged that God allowed me to sit up under some teaching, the Word of God. I'm privileged that God allowed me to take hermeneutics and learn the Word of God. So God is going to require a lot about me. Matter of fact, one of my old pastors used to say this to me. He said, God got too much invested in me for me to mess up. You know what? I say this all the time. People don't like me to say it. I say, you know what God would do? He will kill me. The Bible says he will not allow his son's blood to be trampled under. Amen? Now you think about that. God done all this for you. He done saved you in front of your family. You done stand before church and you done told people I love the Lord. You done follow the Lord and believe that. You done did everything. Then one day you decide I'm through with it. I'm throwing in the towel. God is going to sit back in heaven and say, nah, I don't think you want to do that. He told Joshua. He said, now, after I've done you good, you turn on me, I will turn and do you hurt. And what he was saying was that you blaspheme my name before the heathen. That's what he was saying. He told David when he committed adultery, he said, David, I'm going to let you live, but you have caused the enemies of God to blaspheme my name. And because you did that, David, the sword will never leave your home. See, I can't let you get away with it, David. And David had four sons that died violent deaths. Are y'all listening to me? So let me tell you, we've been given much. Don't squander what you've been given. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that God took time to train you and to give you a pastor and to teach you the Word of God and to give you a place that you can grow and give you a church. You know, I say this to our church all the time. We just in a storefront, but the church is not the building anyway. The church is the people. And you know, every time we have the church, when two or three are gathered there in his name and the Word of God is presented, he's there. And I said this to my church one more time. I said, now, you know, you're looking at these chairs and they're empty. I said, but when Samuel got called to preach, the Bible said this. God wouldn't let his word fall on the ground. So you can't see, but there's angels sitting right around here. See, when this word of God is preached, this word is so holy that God won't let the word fall on the ground. So when I preach the word, you're not sitting at an angel catch it right there. So the word of God is still, matter of fact, it won't return void. It will do and accomplish everything that God has said it to do. So let me tell you, I don't care if it's one or 10 or 10,000, the word of God will go forth. So we thank the Lord for the word of God. Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I've done as you commanded. I've shared the word of God, how we ought to be faithful, Lord, how much is given, much is required. And Lord, you've given us so much. Matter of fact, America ought to be shamed. We have founded on a Christian principle and we've gone away from the word of God. We had people that wrote the Declaration of Independence, people that wrote the Constitution that was Christian and we done lost it. And Great Britain used to send out missionaries and now it's become an apostate nation. We are slowly coming to apostate nation. Lord, help us that a true Christian, like the remnant, when Israel went into captivity, there was a remnant. Help us to continue to stand and praise a holy God. Now, Lord, as we sang our invitation song, speak to the hearts of your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory.